All right, take your Bibles, would you please? One more time, Romans chapter 6. And what a blessing to be with you guys and to serve with you. And we've had a, bless you. And we've had a wonderful few days together. And always, 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 always love the student prayer advance. Can I give you a couple of suggestions about this? Go home and write down those application steps and put them into practice. And then plan to be here next year and plan to bring somebody with you next year. And all of you ought to bring a friend with you next year and just let the Lord work in all of our hearts. It's been a good few days. I'm so thankful, Brother Harold, for you and for your staff and for all of you friends that I have in this place. I'm a blessed man. Did y'all know that? I'm a blessed man. Y'all are my friends, aren't you? All you teens, my friends? All right, I'm glad. My charity last night, you know what I asked my charity last night? I said to my charity last night, I said, hey, who's a better preacher? Your dad or Scott Pauling? And my daughter, that wasn't part of the option. And my daughter said, well, Scott Pauley's pretty good. So I think I got my answer there. But what a privilege to serve you guys. I sure enjoyed serving Brother Pauley, and I've enjoyed just preaching to you. And all you kids from Hope's Point, I know you heard me preach through Romans 6 this summer, and I prayed earnestly about it because I was going to change it, but I knew the Lord wanted me to preach it again. So you got to hear a few more truths from Romans 6. So thank you for listening again to God's Word. Romans chapter 6, it's, what time is it? 10:45, and you got miles to go before you sleep. So let's get right to God's Word and read God's Word and apply God's Word to our life. Have one more invitation, and then we're going to hit the road. Y'all are going home, right? We're not going home. We're going to Flatwoods, Kentucky. And so I'll be heading there with my family this afternoon and preaching there this coming week in a family conference. And so pray for us as we drive, and I'll be praying for you as you drive as well. And Hope's Point, I'll be seeing you in a few months. Just around the corner, we got a revival with you guys, going to be there. And some of you are going to be seeing at the couple's prayer advance coming up in Pigeon Forge. Some of you are joining us there. And you kids, go home and tell your mom and dad that they ought to come to the couple's prayer advance, all right? You go home and tell them that. In fact, I've got some photos here, I think. Have you all met my wife? And don't we look good? And there's my sweetheart. And then let's see, what's up there next? I got a couple of things here. And that's the Keeping It Young podcast. And if you've never listened to our podcast, go home and tell your mom and dad to check out the Keeping It Young. Isn't that a cool? Isn't that cool, that title? Don't y'all think that's cool? I came up with that myself because I'm Dave Young, so we're the Keeping It Young. Isn't that cool? Come on, don't y'all think that's cool? I mean, help me out here. Y'all just looking at me. And so check that out. And if I can help you kids, in all sincerity, if I can help you, there's my email address, DNB Young, David and Bethley. And if you forget that, I'm Evangelist Dave Young at evangelistdaveyoung.com, and there's a contact page at the bottom of there. Sometimes teens will email me with a prayer request, and I'd be happy to pray for it. You send it to me. And sometimes they'll email me with a question or a need in their life. Girls, I don't counsel girls, but the lovely lady that I'm married to would be very happy to offer you words of counsel as well. So you reach out to us, you send us an email, and it would be our privilege and our blessing to pray for you, serve you, encourage you, do anything we can to help you. All right, Romans chapter 6 in your Bible. And just for sake of time, let's begin reading in verse 16. Know ye not? Everybody say, don't you know? Say it louder like you mean it. Don't you know? Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, two words there, yield, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Do you know there are many things in your life that God wants to be past tense? Did you know that? God doesn't want you to live under the bondage of sin. God wants that to be past tense. Somebody here may say, you know what, I struggle with my purity, but that's over. I'm beyond that. I've got victory over that. And you know, I came to the student prayer advance really, really discouraged and defeated, but that's in the past. God wants some things in your life to be in the past tense. And he says here, ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin and become, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Smile at your neighbor and say, do you know you're weak? Say it to somebody else. Don't miss this. Smile at them and say, did you know you're weak? Tell them. And be honest now. How many of y'all agree with that? How many of y'all sincerely know that to be true? He says, the reason I'm writing this to you is because of the infirmity of your flesh. You're going to struggle, and on your own, you're going to fail. Yeah. Y'all know, isn't that encouraging? You know, you're weak and on your own. You're going to blow it. Doesn't that just encourage you? You're headed for failure, he says. You can't do it. You've never been. You'll never be old. Kids, you know this. You'll never be saved long enough. You'll never be saved long enough to be able to have a victorious Christian life on your own. And you'll never know enough Bible to have victorious Christian life on your own. You'll never be smart enough. You'll just never be strong enough on your own. You can't do it. He said, I'm writing you because of the infirmity of your flesh. You and I just have this tendency to do wrong, don't we? He says, I'm writing to you in verse 19, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, everybody say now.
Now.
Say it louder. But
now,
being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Here's our heart for you. Here's our desire for you. Here's God's heart for you. Here's God's desire for you. God's heart for you, kids, is that you would go home and you would be free from sin and be a servant of God. And God's plan is that you would have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You say, well, we live in such a dark time. I know it, but how many of y'all know God is bigger than the dark time we live in? Do y'all know that? Boy, these are tough days. How many of y'all believe these are tough days? But how many of y'all know your God is bigger than these tough days? Did you know that? So God says, look, you don't have to be a servant of sin. I don't want you to be a servant of sin. What I want to happen in your life is that you go home and you have your fruit unto holiness. You become more and more like Jesus every day of your life. And what I want to see in your life is you're to reap this everlasting life. God wants you to have life, joy, victory, power, blessing, favor. And he's telling us how in this passage. And it starts with this statement, decide who to serve. What he's trying to tell us here is you got to decide who to serve. Everybody here is going to go home and serve. And let's just jump right into it. Did you know that everybody serves? Did y'all know that? Everybody serves. Did you know that? Everybody serves. Did y'all know that? Yes or no? Everybody serves. Yeah, you ever seen a kid who's gothic? You know what I mean by that? You see a kid who's gothic. He's got black clothes on and black fingernails, or she does, and they're gothic. And here's what sometimes kids like that will think. They'll think like this. So, you know, I just do my own thing. Nobody tells me what to do. And how many of y'all are aware of the fact that's never been true? If your mom and dad can't tell you how to dress, how many of y'all know that your friends will? See, if your mom and dad can't tell you what to wear, some designer on Instagram will tell you what to wear. And we're all serving. Everybody's a servant. Everybody's going to serve something. The Bible says here, you're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve righteousness. Everybody serves. Everybody, everybody, everybody serves. Some of you have heard me tell the story about a kid I met years ago named Shay. And Shay was a unique guy. And did I tell this story at Kobiak? Did y'all remember the story of Shay? And Shay just cracked me up. I met him on a Sunday night in an independent Baptist church in southern Georgia. And Shay came into that service, and he caught my attention. The service was about to start. We didn't have countdowns back in those days, but we watched our clocks, and we knew it was about time for service to start. And I was on the platform, because I was going to sit on the platform that night. And all of a sudden, in the back door walked this kid. I'd never seen him, didn't know anything about him, didn't know his name, but he caught my attention for all kinds of reasons. He had a mohawk. That kind of catches your attention in a Sunday night service at an independent fundamental Bible Baptist church. Y'all with me on that? He had a mohawk. And number two, he had hip-hop on. Y'all know what that is? That's kind of going out. That was when guys wore their pants 10 sizes too big, pulled down to their kneecaps, their underwear pulled up under their arms, and thought they were cool. Y'all know what I mean by that? So he had his baggy clothes on. He's kind of that little hip-hop thing. And he just had, you know, a little bit of dye in his hair and stuff like that, which, you know, it's not the end of the world. I have a mohawk or anything like that, but he just caught my attention. He had jewelry, he had a chain, you know, kind of, I can't remember if it was around his lip or his nose, but he just had jewelry and he just kind of stood out. And I knew this guy probably doesn't normally come to church here. And just because I knew the crowd. And you know what I mean with that, Brother Harold, right? I mean, you can just tell this guy's probably visiting. So I thought, I need to meet him. So I go back. And I introduced myself. Actually, I just went back and asked his name. I said, hey, I'm sure happy you came tonight. I said, what's your name, bud? And he was the funniest guy to have a conversation with, because when he talked, he moved. And so I say, what's your name, young man? And he said, my name is Shay. And I was like, really? My name is Shay. I thought that was a cool name and kind of a cool way to introduce yourself. He said, my name is Shay. And I said, well, that's pretty awesome. My name is Brother Dave. And just kind of jump in there with him. We just had a little conversation. His dad was a member of the church, and his mom and dad were divorced, and he'd always lived with his mom. and he had gotten in trouble with drugs, and his life had kind of messed up where his mom lived, and so he had moved down to be with his dad. He's 19 years old, so he's just, you know, barely still a teenager. He'd moved down to be with his dad, and he's trying to get his life straightened out, and he thought maybe it'd be a good thing if I go to dad, because mom hasn't helped me, I'm going to go down to dad. And so he was moving on there with his dad. But anyway, wait, we got to talk a little bit. And, you know, inquire, how many of y'all ever heard this? Inquiring minds want to know. Y'all know that? And I have one. So I want to know. I want to know. Oh, why do you dress like this? You know, what's with the chains? What's with the hair? What's with the, you know, what's up? So I said to Shay, I said, well, I'm just curious about something. Hope this doesn't offend you, but I want to know. What's up? Why do you dress this way? What's with the mohawk? You know, what's with the dyed hair? And what's with the, you know, the chain? And what's with this, you know? So I said, well, what's up, man? What's going on? And here's what he said. I'll never forget this. He said, well, I just want you to know something. He said, I just do my own thing. I just do my own thing. And I thought to myself, yeah, you're stupider than you look. How many of y'all think that was mean? Y'all think that was mean? I didn't say that out loud. But he did look kind of stupid. I mean, who wants to see his underwear? Can I get some help here? Pull up your pants. Somebody got to need a staple gun. Staple those babies to his hips. Are y'all with me on this? For crying out loud, pull up your pants. All right, help me out here. Y'all with me on this? I don't want to see your underwear. Pull them up. And I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset at him. But here's this guy. What do you mean? Why do you dress like this? Because I just want you to know I do my own thing. How many of y'all know that was an absolute lie? How many of y'all know that was an absolute lie? Are you telling me that Shay got out of bed one morning? Here's what he thought. Oh! You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna get a mohawk. I'm just going to do my own thing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pierce my ears. Just do my own thing. I got an idea. I bet I'd be really cool if I pulled my knees down to my kneecaps, my underwear up under my arms. I bet I'd be really cool. How many of y'all with me on this? Y'all with me on this? I know y'all are a tired crowd. How many of y'all with me on this? Nobody, nobody, nobody. Bless you, son. Nobody, nobody, nobody. You need some allergy meds, but I can help you with this. How many of y'all know this? Nobody does their own thing. You got to understand what he's trying to say to you in Romans chapter 6 is everybody serves. You do and I do. He said, nobody tells me what to do. Get your driver's license. Get your driver's license. He said, I can drive as fast as I want to. Try it. Go ahead, drive as fast as you want to. How many of you ever had how many of y'all have a driver's license? How many of you have a driver's license? How many of you don't, but you can't wait? Let me see your hand. How many of you don't have a driver's license? I'm just telling you, I've seen some of you kids walk across campus. I am praying for you. I can't imagine you driving a 5,000-pound car the way some of you kids walk, for crying out loud. But how many of you have a driver's license? Let me see your hand again. How many of you ever gotten pulled over? Anybody here ever gotten pulled over? Anybody here? Did you get pulled over? Wasn't that a blessing? Did you get a ticket? Oh, she got a ticket. Everybody say, good for the police officer. That's how to win friends and influence people right there, isn't it? See, here's the deal. You know what? It's her car, so I can drive as fast as I want to. Oh, no, you can't. See, everybody serves. Harold Vaughn is a man of God. Do y'all believe that? Let me try that again. Harold Vaughn's a man of God. Three people. Yeah. Woo! Let's try that again. I think I caught him off guard. How many of y'all believe Harold Vaughn's a man of God? That's exactly right. I think he is too. He's one of my prayer partners. I love Brother Harold. But you know something? He serves. He does everything. He does everything Stephen tells him to do. I'm just kidding about that, I think. He does everything Brother Lynn tells him to do. That's what he does. But see, here's how we all serve. Nobody's exempt. Everybody serves. And what the Bible wants you to know is to start there. Everybody serves. Now think of it like this. Throw up that next screen there and just take a look at this. We serve sin or obedience. We either serve death or righteousness. We serve slavery or freedom. See, everybody serves. Now, what makes a difference in how you serve? What makes a difference in how you serve is one word. So I need some help here. And Jackson, I'm going to need your help. Jackson, will you come here? And Ben, I'm going to need your help. Can you come up here, Ben? Help me. All right. So Jackson, come on up here. And Ben, come on up here. And Riley, I'm going to need your help. If you can see to get up here, come on up here. What I need you to do, Jackson, is, in fact, it's a little tight up here. So we'll move it over to the side. And you all forgive me on this side. So what I want you to do, Ben, is I want you to stand right, maybe right here in front of this. All right. And then Jackson, I want you to stand over here a little bit. And you guys just kind of parallel each other. And here's what we're going to do. You're going to represent God, all right? And you're going to represent sin. So help me out here. Who do we have? We have, and we have, all right? And then we have Riley. And Riley represents you, all right? So who do we have? And who do we have? And who do we have? No, we have me. The answer is me, all right? So your answer is me. Let's try this. Who do we have? And we have? And we have? All right. The answer is me. You guys want to go home, you got to get with the program. Who do we have? And we have? And we have? All right, so come here, me. All right, so here's the deal. Now watch this on the screen. Put this on the screen for us. The Bible says the difference in who you serve is based on this word yield. And I love this word yield in the Bible. In fact, it shows up several times in your text. You guys don't move. Stay right there. How many got your Bible open? Look at it. You'll see several times in the text. You see it in verse 13. We overlooked it. We skipped it for sake of time. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You see that? You see that picture? And he says down here in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You see that word yield? You see it in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And the word yield means to stand beside. The word yield means to stand beside. The word yield means to stand beside. So here you are. Here you are. And whether or not you're going to have victory in your life is based on who you serve. And the key word in who you serve is the word yield. It means to stand beside. Here's where most of you live. Right there. Most Christians live right there. We yield ourselves to sin. We stand beside sin. That's where we live. So many. In fact, our churches are full of people that stand like that. And you know what I know about sin? Sin is very friendly. It is. Sin will welcome you with open arms. Move on in. Move over here and hang with me. Stop it. This is my sermon. Sin will say, move on over here and cuddle up with me. Let's just be buddies. And I want to tell you, this is where most of us live in our generation. You can see it, can't you? Think of it like this. You can see it. You can see it in our entertainment, can't you? Entertainment is such a blessing. Did you know it was God's idea for us to enjoy life? I read in my Bible that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you all know that entertainment is ridiculously expensive? We Americans spend $70 trillion a year. $70 billion a year, I think is how that goes, on shopping. Isn't that incredible? We just love to do things that are fun. It's entertaining. We love entertainment. Entertainment is this great thing. We spend $500 million a year on golf balls. Can you imagine that? We love entertainment, but you know why some of you are not going to have victory when you go home? Because you stand next to sin. You're going to go home, and you're going to get back on your Instagram account, and you're going to stand right next to sin. And it's not wrong to have an Instagram account necessarily, but when you're going to stay awake at night scrolling through mindless, idiotic, foolish, inappropriate, unwise, cursing-filled videos on your Instagram account, then just mark this down in black and underline it in red. The fact of the matter is you will not have victory in your life because you're yielding to sin. You're standing beside a sin. Shows up on entertainment. Your video games aren't necessarily wrong. I mean, I played Pac-Man when I was a kid, and I was pretty good at it, for the record. I like Pac-Man. I haven't played it in years, but I played Pac-Man. We had this thing called Atari. How many of y'all, anybody here my age remember Atari? I had an Atari. I was so cool. We didn't have a television, but we had an Atari. And we had to buy us a monitor, a TV monitor. My dad let us go buy an old monitor so we could hook up something and play video games. He let us play occasionally. So I'm not against video games, but I'm telling you, if you're going to stand next to sin when you go home and waste 3 hours a day playing a video game where you're mindlessly killing people, I don't know that it's totally wicked, but I'm telling you, you're not going to have a victory in your life if you stand next to sin. Some of you, it's your friendships. How many of y'all know this? The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. You say, well, I can handle it. I'm the exception. You are not the exception, and you never will be. You have lousy friends. You say, well, what's a lousy friend? Someone that's always joking inappropriately about things that are sacred. Somebody that's always pulling you down, holding you back. Somebody that's always tearing you down. Somebody that's always stopped. Some of you kids will not sing in church when you go to church tomorrow morning. And the reason not, because you're standing beside a lousy friend and your friend doesn't sing, so you don't sing. And the fact of the matter is, somebody in your relationship needs to man up and either end the relationship or pick it up. Amen. We're standing over here beside a sin. It's our entertainment. It's our lousy friends. Some of you, it's your music. And since I already touched on that this morning, I think I hit a nerve. Because I said, some of you kids standing over there by country music, and some of you kids are like, come on. Don't rip on our country music. It's arguably Christian. When it talks about God, this is God's country. Well, there ain't no I in beer. Isn't that kind of where we are? Wonder why am I so down? Why am I so discouraged? Why do I have no victory? Why do I struggle with my purity? Why am I always so frustrated? Well, I can tell you why. Because you're yielded. You're standing beside a sin wondering why it's controlling your life. And the Bible's telling us something here. The Bible's telling us that we, me, you, Riley, the Bible is telling us that if we're going to have victory in our life, we gotta decide to yield differently. See, because you can stand beside a sin and sin will say, boy, aren't you cool. Got the hair. And sin will say, come on over here and look at this. Come on over here and hang with me. Man, that's where we live. Some of you kids aren't going to have victory. You had a great time here at the prayer advance, and you prayed, and God worked in your heart, and you're going to go home, and you're going to yield yourself to sin. And the fact of the matter is, you're going to wonder this time next year, why am I no farther along than I was when I went to prayer advance last year? And the only answer summed up in one word. It's the word yield. You stand beside sin, and sin will control your life. But you can change. Smile at your neighbor and say to them, you can change. Some of you got to go home and switch masters. You got to move over here beside a God. You got to say no to sin. You got to say, look, I've had enough of the Instagram. I'm done with it. I may check my friends occasionally to see what they had for dinner last night. But I'm done with it. Every time I get on there, I hear the F word and God's name take. I'm done with it. I'm done with you. Not standing over here anymore. You see how this works? Some of you got to change. You got to say, I'm going to change something right now. You're not the friend that I need, and I'm not the friend that you need, and we gotta stop hanging around. Some of you probably need to go home, put your what do you call them now anyway? Your Atari. What do y'all call it?
That's fine.
Help me out here.
I don't know.
Atari's fine. Atari is not fine. I need help.
Xbox. I don't know.
Your Wii? Xbox. Your Wii. Wii. Your Wii. You gotta go home. Get rid of your Wii. Some of you got to go home and get rid of your Xbox. You are no help. Help me out, kids. What do we need? Oh, it is Xbox?
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome. I apologize. Forgive me.
You're forgiven.
But see, here's the deal. Some of you got some. Maybe you need to go home and get rid of an Xbox. Maybe you need to go home and say, you know what? I waste 4 hours a day playing a dumb video game. And I never had devotions. Some of you might need to go home and say, you know what? I'm gonna do a little fast. I'm gonna fast for the next 17 years from Facebook, Instagram, and I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna take a 17-year fast, and I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna fast from TikTok. I'm gonna try it 17 years, see if it works out. He said, come on. I said, well, I know it's extreme, so try 17 minutes. That's extreme the other way, isn't it? Try 2 days. Have you ever been without your phone because you had to? Anybody in real time? You ever been without your phone? And doesn't it make a difference in your life? All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? I feel pretty good. I actually have victory in my life. I'm happy. I haven't looked at Instagram in 48 hours, and I'm delirious. I'm so happy. I'm like, wow, I like you.
I never
had a conversation with you before. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. See, we do this all the time. I see teens all the time together. You don't have to text them. They're right there. Isn't this a weird generation? Kids, you got to change. You got to change. Stop standing beside a sin and move over here. Riley, move over here next to God. And you know, sin will welcome you in and let you down. Sin will welcome you in and let you down. And if you don't believe that, just be practical. Go home and get just take some time. Walk down your street and look around a bit. And look at the family that drinks up a storm and cusses like, you know, I'll get out. And they're divorced and they hate each other's guts and they fight like cats and dogs. Just look at what sin did to them. Go find the person that's dying from cancer because they smoke cigarettes. And think about where there was a day they were 15 years old and thought they were cool because they were vaping. They were smoking cigarettes. I'm 15 years old. I'm telling you, I'm so cool. Blowing smoke out your nose will make you cool. Isn't that what sin says to us? And yet, look what the... So be practical. The Bible says in the Old Testament, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, don't serve Him. That's a practical way of saying what Joshua said. If it seems evil to you to serve Him, don't serve Him. If sin is better than God, then just move over here and go to the dogs. Just move over here and live it up and drink and smoke and look at whatever you want to look at and do it. If this is better, move over here and stay over here. Bible says if it's evil to serve God, then don't do it. But how many of you are smart enough and wise enough and mature enough to know that sin will always let you down? It'll take you farther than you meant to go, won't it? It'll cost you more than you meant to pay, won't it? It'll keep you longer than you thought you'd stay, won't it? Sin will always do that, always do that. Sin is not your friend. Sin is always, always, always. We can yield to sin. I'll tell you what we can do. And if I'm skipping some of these, you'll just have to jump on. We can yield to God. We can come over here and we can say, you know what? You know what? I'm going to change. I'm going to start doing what's right. Riley, you're 17 years old. I don't know much about you. I know you have a cool car. He has a Ford Bronco. I mean, all the guys agree that's cool. I like Broncos. I'd look good in your car. $5,000 and it's mine, huh? Four? No. No, okay. Three? No. Okay. Thought I'd try. Keep preaching. I'm going to. Okay, now watch this. Riley has to decide. Am I going to go home and yield to God? Yield to righteousness? Get in my Bible and have devotions every day? Am I going to go to church Sunday morning, not because mom and dad make me, but because I'm yielded to God? Am I going to go to church Sunday morning and stop whining about our youth group and get our youth group to get on the front row, all three of us, or five of us, or 30 of us? I'm going to stop whining about our youth group. We don't need friends. Our youth group's so small. Stop it. Get the five of you on the front row and embarrass your preacher. Laugh at his jokes. Get up there when your preacher starts preaching. Just do this to him. Get on the front row when he starts preaching. Do this. Go. See, some of you, you're so yielded to sin. You go to church and you're like, oh my word. Nobody plays a guitar in our church. We don't get that little... Our church is so boring. We go to the prayer advance and it's fun. We got to go home, go to church tomorrow. Well, if I had to preach to you, I'd look miserable too. Because sometimes I look at teens in a Sunday morning service and they're like, it's like the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. The lights are down, bars flashing, but there ain't no train coming. Shame on us, kids. Yield yourself to God and get busy. Get on the front row tomorrow morning because you're yielded to God and take your Bible to church with you. Get rid of your app. You've got that app open in church. Somebody's going to send you a notification. You're going to have no idea what's going on in the service because that notification says, me, look at me, look at me, look at me, talk to me. Listen, you'll do far better with a Bible in your hand, kids, and a pen and some notes, and take notes. Maybe go forward at the invitation. When pastor says stand for prayer, jump up and start praying. Pray out loud if you want to. Some of you kids you've never prayed. You go to church, let's open the service in prayer. Here's what we all do. hey, man, why don't you kids go home and pretend you're at the prayer advance? Pastor tomorrow morning says, open, let's open in prayer. And you guys stand up and go like this. Go. You know, Lord, pastor needs help as he preaches this morning. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray you'll fill him with your power and me and come down. Oh, Lord, do something mighty today. Amen. And your pastor's going to go. Your pastor's going to go. Excuse me? See, I'm sorry, pastor. I was talking to God, not you. See, honestly, aren't our churches dead enough? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired just going to church and sitting there? Okay, then get away from sin and move over here and stand next to God and get all in for God. Kids, go home and get on fire for God. Some of you are about to go to school, and you're going to go to school. You're going to stand over here by sin, and you're going to roll your eyes inside authority, and you're going to roll your eyes inside some of you Christian school kids at chapel, and you're going to roll your eyes inside because you got to wear a tie on chapel days. And the fact of the matter is, shame on all of us. Why don't you move over here by God and get happy? Why don't you get your Bible out every day and have devotions? Why don't you go home and take 5 minutes a day to get on your knees and say, God, I need revival, and my friends need revival, and you got to do something in our generation. You know God's real? Do y'all know God's real? Do y'all know God's real? Do y'all know God cares about you? He's real. And so move over here and say, okay, God, I'm all in for you. And I'm going to have devotions, and I'm going to sing. When my church stands to sing, I'm going to sing loud. None of this. Open your mouth and just sing. Get your kids around you. Get all your buddies around you and say, let's sing. Come on, sing loud. You guys have sung great here at the student prayer advance. I'll go home and do it tomorrow morning. When the pastor gives the invitation tomorrow, go forward and get on your knees. See, I'm not even sure I need to. Do it anyway. It'll encourage him. If you think about it, you can probably find something to pray about. You probably could. Go. See, we've sat in our services long enough dead. It's time we change. Yield to sin. Why live that way? Sin will let you down. But there's a God in heaven that's never failed anybody, and he will not fail you. And kids, there's no reason why in our generation we should not be the revival generation. God is still on the throne. The Bible is still true. The Holy Spirit still works. And you can have revival in your generation if you'll change. You got to get off Instagram. You got to get off TikTok. I don't know what's wrong to have an account, but you need to get Alexa to set you a limit to about 15 minutes and say, Alexa, let me know when 15 minutes are up, and I'm going to shut her down. So get on there and, you know, check out a few things if you need to. You know, 15 minutes. You know, maybe 10 or maybe 3. Just that's about all the value in it anyway, isn't it? And say, I'm done. And then get your Bible out. Listen. If this summer is coming to an end and you haven't had devotions all summer, it's time you stand somewhere differently. If this summer is coming to an end and you haven't one time this summer on your own did this, it's probably time for you to change. If you've played 4 hours of video games every day this summer, but your mom has to harass you to pick up your laundry, it's probably time you change. And so we can either go home and say, boy, wasn't that fun? Scott Pauly was so good. Brother Dave's so good looking. You can go home and say whatever you want to say. Or you can go home and change. So what we find is simply this. Everybody serves. I'm done. Throw it up fast, Brother Lynn. Serving sin is deadly. Don't you forget that. Riley, the fastest way to ruin your life is move over there and let sin destroy you. You may never hold up a bank. Maybe you don't even really run your purity. Just carelessly live your life. I can take church or leave it. I'll go to church. My heart's not in it, but I'm there. At least I'm there. Fastest way, sin will ruin it. Sin will just say, come on over. You don't have to get excited about Jesus. World's falling apart, and why bother? Nothing you can do about it anyway. You're just 17. That's what sin will tell you. But there's a God in heaven. He's real, and he's powerful, and he loves you, and his word is true. And he's able to take guys like Riley and kids like you, people like me, and he fills us with his spirit, and he says, come on over, and I want you to know several things. Number one, you're mine. I love you. You know God loves you. He said, come on over here and let me know. I just want you to know I love you. I want to use you.
In fact, let's partner together and let's impact this whole world. Like for instance, hey, God says, Riley, that kid down the street there is on his way to hell. I want you to befriend him and see if you can get him saved. Try to win him to Jesus. There's teens in your town that need to be saved. And some of you this summer have not done one thing to win anybody to Jesus. Didn't witness to anybody. You got people on Facebook, you got people on Instagram that'll message you. You've never one time pointed them to Jesus. Because you're in the wrong place. You got to move over. Serving sin is deadly. Don't let sin destroy you. Here's the last thing. Serving God is epic. Now I want you to get that. Everybody serves. Serving sin is deadly. And I just want you to know, as we come to the end of this student prayer advance, serving God is epic. I'm 52 years old, and there's no way that I've done everything right. But I want to tell you something I learned when I was 15 years old. I got saved when I was 15 years old, and I said, you know what? My music's got to go. I had cassettes. Did you ever see a cassette? I had cassettes. Brother Harold, I remember the day I threw away about 300 cassettes. AC/DC. I threw it away. Kiss. I got rid of them. Def Leppard. Quiet Riot. I cleaned it out. You know why? Because I was changing. Wasn't perfect. I was 16 years old. I remember a day I said to a buddy of mine, we can't be friends anymore. So I'm moving over here. I remember the day that I said, you know, Lord, I've battled this purity thing long enough, and I want victory. And I started getting God's Word in my heart, memorizing God's Word, and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I found out that God is able to give me victory when I moved over here with Him. Next thing you know, I had victory in my heart and my life, and I'm just a high school kid in a public high school. And see, the only difference was I changed. You can stand over here by sin when you go home, or you can change. Move over here and say, you know what? God is better than sin. God is better than sin. Righteousness is better than sin. The fruit of holiness is better than sin. And I'm telling you, kids, it is. Because I want you to know that serving God is epic. You may never travel the world and preach the gospel. You may never go to student prayer advance and be the speaker on a platform. But can I tell you something, young people? The fact of the matter is, you can serve God and it'll be epic. Most of you are going to get married, and I'll tell you what's going to happen if you'll listen. Some of you are going to get married someday, and you're going to find that serving God is epic. Someday, chances are, Riley, you're going to find you a wife. And she's going to look at you and go, you know what? I just love that hair in his face. I just love him. His hair's so cool. I want to marry that man. And you're going to look at her and think, oh, my word, she's so beautiful. I mean, I hope. And you're going to say, would you marry me? Gertrude, and Gertrude is going to say, oh, yes, I will. And you're going to go to an altar, and somebody's going to marry you. And they're going to say, will you? And you say, I will, I do, I whatever, I do, I'm in. And you're going to get married. You know what you're going to find out? Serving God is epic. Having a happy marriage is epic. And having a godly family is epic. It's just so cool. It's just so cool what I get to do. I'm not wealthy, but you might not know it because, my goodness, God's so good to me. Got everything I need and everything I want. I'm happily married. I mean, I'm married to the most beautiful lady I've ever met. Isn't that cool? Just making sure you're still with me. Isn't that cool? Because here's what some of you think. The devil's lied to you long enough. Here's what some of you think. You know what? I'd serve God, but, oh, my goodness, I might have to marry an ugly woman. Well, shame on you. I'd serve Jesus, but I might have to quit playing my video game. No. How in the world would you ever survive? Isn't that weird how we think? Serving God is epic. And I want all three of you to know that. Serving God is epic. Jackson, serving God is epic. You just letting God use your life and walking with Jesus and loving Jesus, you're going to find out it's epic. Is that, y'all like that word epic? That's such a cool word, isn't it? The word is epic. Say it. Epic. I mean, feel it. I mean, we're Baptists. We don't feel much, but try it. It's epic. Say it with me. It's epic. It is. It always will be. So walk away from student prayer advance and get in your van or your bus or your car and go home yielded to God, serving God. It's worth it to do it. Have I made sense? I'm out of time. You guys can have a seat.
The Bible says right here, but now, say the word now, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. So how do we close the student prayer advance? Decide to go home and serve. How many be honest? Nobody here but us, just us. It's just me and you. How many of you would say, you know, Dave, I'm going to be honest about this. The fact of the matter is, I know there are changes I could make in my life, and if I made them, I'd be a better and a happier Christian, and I know it. How many just be honest? Come on over to us. I know there's changes I can make in my life, and if I made them, I'd be a better and a happier Christian. All right. Let's get on our knees here in a moment and say, God, I'm willing to change. And how many of you would say, you know what, Brother Dave, I don't often think about it, but when you talk about it, the fact of the matter is I can see it. Serving God is epic, and I can honestly say that's how I want to live. I want to serve God and have God's blessings in my life. I want to be on God's side. I want to be yielded to God. I want to stand beside of what's right. I'm going to do it, and I can see that it's a great way to live, and I don't care who knows it. I just want you to know, Brother Dave, when I leave this student prayer advance, I want to serve God because I believe it's epic to serve God. I'm convinced. Let me see your head good and high. Would you? All right, then we got to have a prayer meeting, don't we, before we go home. Every one of you that just raised a hand and said, there are changes I know that I could make, and if I made them, I'd be a better and a happier Christian, then I want you to get on your knees today and tell God, you know, Lord, I know what it is, and you've got to help me to change it because I know I'm going to go home and not want to. But I want your power in my life, and I want you to help me because I'm going to go home and change it. And I think all of us are on our knees today and say, God, I need to change, and you want me to change what I need to change. But God, I just want you to know that I'm going home with a belief in my heart that serving you is epic, and I want you to be first in my life, and I want my life to make a difference, and I want my life to count. And God, I'm all in for you, and I mean it with every ounce of my being. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to start as soon as this service is over. I'm all in. I'm all in.